kind of song I can see Karen Turk liking. I have no reason to think that. She's never told me that she's liked it. For some reason, this song by Pink, I like it too, don't get me wrong. But it just, to me, it screams Karen Turk. Now, who is Karen Turk? She's a very, very interesting person. She's a former Mrs. Florida. I thought I heard Rita Cosby call her Ms. Florida. Well, I can tell you, Mr. Florida was none too happy about Rita Cosby's description of that. She's a conservative activist and the author of the new book, Behind the Headlines, How a Conservative Beauty Queen Became a Target of Cancel Culture and Fake News. She's a friend of the show. She's always available to us at odd hours. She does not complain about requests to be on at 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. She does not ask to pre-tape before the show so that we can work around her schedule, even though she has a very demanding schedule in her own right. And she's just all around an interesting person. Karen, thanks so much for joining me on the radio. Congratulations on the new book.
Ah, thanks for having me. And I do like the song. I want to go on the record and say that I do like that song.
Of that, I had no doubt, Karen. Of that, I had no doubt. Karen, let's begin with your name. You have a quote from my friend Roger Stone in your book that says, Karen Turk is not a Karen. And then he spells the second Karen, K-A-R-E-N. Now, first of all, I thought that was a little inaccurate on Roger's part because you've come on the show before and you've confessed to a lot of Karen-ish qualities. But why did your parents choose to name you Karen with a Y? Isn't there something a little obnoxious about that? If you're going to be a Karen, why not go with a conventional spelling?
You know, my mom really was an outside-of-the-box thinker, and my mom always liked to be a little different. And my mom was known for changing her name multiple times throughout her life and doing some interesting things with her name. So I think I just followed suit. And, you know, I'm really proud to be her daughter, and I hope that this book really tells my mother's story as well as mine.
Well, yeah, and it is a tough story, and I'm going to ask you about that in a second. But just so I understand, you said your mom changed her name a couple times. Did you also change your name multiple times, or was this the name she gave you and you stuck with it?
Yeah, no, I stuck with it. My mom originally spelled it with an E and then changed it when I was real young just because she felt she didn't want me to be typical. And I think it's pretty much, a testament. You know, I do identify with some of the Karen qualities, admittedly, but I'm a little bit different. So I think she nails it.
So your mom changed your name from Karen with an E to Karen with a Y as a child?
Yeah, she did.
Wow.
That's
something.
Yeah.
That's something. All right. Well, so let me this is a fascinating book, and I do recommend it if people want to check it out. The book is called Behind the Headlines, How a Conservative Beauty Queen Became a Target of Cancel Culture and Fake News. Now, Karen, you made all sorts of headlines 2 years ago, national news, but incredible news in Florida. The Palm Beach Post headline, conservative commentator Karen Turk admits to stealing mom's Social Security. Newspapers all over the country chronicled how you had admitted stealing your 83-year-old mother's Social Security checks. In reading the book, which I've been doing, and it's very well written and it's actually pretty entertaining as well, you make clear that there's a lot more to this story than the headlines would indicate. Explain to folks what exactly happened. What circumstance did your mom find herself in? How did that relate to you? And why would you admit to committing a crime if you didn't commit one?
Yeah, you know, it was a complicated set of circumstances, and the book definitely illustrates that. You know, I wasn't prepared for any of what I encountered. You know, you go into things expecting that, you know, you're going to be able to take care of your parents and you're going to be able to do what's right for them. And, you know, I did my best. I took care of my parents. I tried to make good decisions for them. I unfortunately picked a facility for my mother that wasn't caring for her the way that I felt she needed to be cared for. And things became very, very contentious with this nursing home. And as things became more contentious, they hired a law firm to represent them. And being somewhat naive about the guardianship system, when a guardianship was initially proposed, I didn't oppose it because I didn't realize the extent and level of what was about to happen. I didn't realize really and didn't think it out properly that my rights were going to be stripped from me as her daughter, and that her rights were going to be stripped as well. And she was going to become a ward of this professional guardian. And to me, you know, growing up in the shadows of New York City, you know, in the late 70s and early 80s, to me, a guardian was a guardian angel. I thought somebody was going to swoop in and be an intermediary between the nursing home that I was battling over care for my mother and my family. I thought this person was going to be a guardian angel. And oh boy, was I wrong. So, you know, I got a quick and very concise education on the guardianship system, which I had been totally unaware of. And thank God for the Free Britney movement and movies like I Care a Lot, because they're really opening the public's eyes. And when I was dealing with this 2 years ago, I felt very, very alone.
You know, it's funny. My friend Curtis Sliwa, who's running for mayor now, the founder of the Guardian Angels, he's listening to us right at this moment, and I guarantee you, he's tipping his beret to you. The fact that you gave the Guardian Angels a shout out for their role in the 1970s. But explain to folks. I can follow everything that you just said, including the abuse of guardianship, and including trying to do right by your parents and seeing your mom being taken advantage of by somebody that should have been protecting her. And I could understand your being happy with films like I Care a Lot, which highlight abuses in guardianships. But explain to folks how having an abusive guardian for your mom resulted in you becoming a convicted felon.
Yeah, actually, I was convicted of a misdemeanor, so I actually don't have a felony.
There you go. I appreciate
that. Even crazier. No, it's okay. I mean, it's even crazier because when you think about what they did to me and the fact that I spent 30 days in a maximum security prison, you know, you'd automatically assume that it has to be some sort of a felony, not a $17,000, you know, financial misappropriation. But, you know, it became so contentious, and I'm actually in the midst right now of settling the unlawful death suit with the nursing home, which, you know, although the papers won't write about it and tell what happened, you know, they'll only tell the things that they conveniently want you to know, which is that Karen Turk is a monster. You know, they don't want you to know that the nursing home voluntarily dismissed their lawsuit against me for, you know, all of these financial things, because there was no money owed to the nursing home. You know, what they ended up getting me on, and I want to preface this with, you know, sometimes you got to make a decision, and I was looking at facing financial ruin if I tried to fight the federal government. I mean, fighting a $17,000 misdemeanor against the federal government could have cost my family $500,000. And being that, you know, I had never been convicted of anything in my life and didn't have any prior anything, you know, maybe a speeding ticket somewhere, I felt that the best decision was to take the $17,000 misdemeanor because it was the lesser of the two evils. And being that I had never had any kind of prior, my lawyer said to me, well, you know, they'll probably give you 6 months of probation and you'll pay the money back and it'll be over with and you can move on with your life. And at the time, it seemed like a very good decision. But, you know, the media had other plans for me. And in the world that we're in, where you can be canceled for political opinions and political views, I became a target of that. I became a prime target, and they were able to take shots at me. But this is really a bipartisan issue. And whether you agree with my politics or you don't, I still hope that you'll read the book, because I think we have to find a way in this country to come together and, you know, find things in common with other people. And at the end of the day, I'm a daughter. I experienced a litigious, horrible guardianship system that needs reform all over this country. And, you know, pleading to a $17,000 misdemeanor at the time made sense for my family. I didn't want to drag them through the mud at a trial that would have financially broken us.
Well, you know, it's such an important point that you raise. And this is something that I don't think people who haven't been through the criminal justice system fully appreciate, is the overwhelming pressure to take a guilty plea, even if you yourself are not guilty or don't believe you're guilty, because you look at the legal fees and you look at the possible prison sentence of going to trial and rolling the dice. And it makes there's so much pressure to take a plea, which is why so many of these convictions that you always hear about are the result of guilty pleas. If people are just tuning in, we're talking with Karen Turk. She's a former Mrs. Florida, and she's the author of the new book, Behind the Headlines, How a Conservative Beauty Queen Became a Target of Cancel Culture and Fake News. Karen, you write in the book that as tough as this experience was for you, you're glad you went to prison. Why would you be glad you went to prison?
Because they sensationalize the story so much that it's getting people to listen to what really happened behind the headlines. It's getting people to pay attention. And, you know, the truth is when I think about it, if I really had only gotten the 6 months of probation and pay back the fines and, you know, this all went away, I probably wouldn't be on the show right now talking to you. People wouldn't care about the larger story. And, you know, my mom was a civil rights activist. My mom always wanted to fight for others. Her entire life, my mother did that. And I feel like in some ways, this is part of my mom's legacy. And because they sensationalized it so much and sent me to prison, people went, wait a second. She went to prison for a $17,000 misdemeanor? Wait a minute, guardianship? I think I heard something about how horrible that can be. Wait, I want to know what happened. So, you know, that's the silver lining. And, you know, I really believe that you have to look for the silver lining in things. And that's what I'm choosing to do here.
And explain to folks what exactly happened with your mom. How did this guardian take advantage of her? How was she exploited?
Yeah, you know, my mom was exploited in so many different ways, and some of it was through this legal process and legal system that we are allowing to permeate our probate courts, where lawyers profit and the elderly or the wards suffer. And it's happening all over this country. It's happening, you know, in basically every state where we have elected judges, we see this level of corruption. And, you know, I would have never had my eyes open to this. And, you know, my mom's exploitation started out by being, you know, abused in a nursing home and, you know, me trying to stand up against that. And the lawyers got involved. They knew exactly who to hire. They knew that we have a problem daughter and we need to keep her quiet and we need to make sure that she doesn't make any more problems for us. And as soon as they hired that law firm was really, really quick to decide that they needed to put my mother in a guardianship. And, you know, had I known what I know now, I can guarantee you that I would have fought that tooth and nail. But go back, you know, a little over 2 years ago, and I was very naive to what the guardianship system was about. And this is a system that strips people of their constitutional rights and makes them wards of the state. And makes them wards of people in a professional guardianship. Down here in Florida, all you got to do is take a 40-hour class.
Wow.
So think about it. Do you think that these people, right, are necessarily qualified? And, you know, I'm not saying that every guardian is a monster. I'm not saying that people don't go into this profession with the best of intentions. But even the people that go in with the best of intentions become a product of the system. And the system down here and in most other states is a system where lawyers profit and the elderly suffer.
That's certainly
what's happening here in South Florida.
That's been my experience and my observation elsewhere, even beyond Florida as well. And I think the stories that I've heard from people really bear that out. Now, how do you think, and again, I think the case of guardianships being abusive is certainly something that is nonpartisan. You don't have to be conservative, liberal, or political at all to have a problem with people who are in guardianships being abused. How do you think we should reform this system? Clearly, there comes a need for some people to be in a guardianship. How do we make sure there's proper oversight of the wards so that the guardians don't take advantage of them? What would you do? What's the Karen Turk plan for reform?
There's a couple of different tiers. I mean, one of these things is really simple. In my case, for example, the guardian actually represented both the nursing home and the guardianship. The lawyers represented the guardian and also the nursing home at the same time, which you would very easily, as a logical human being, say, wait a minute, how can the lawyers represent the guardian and the nursing home? Wouldn't that be a conflict of interest? Well, guess what? It's not. It's not. Unbelievably, it's not. So we could actually start with very simple reforms, like, for example, not allowing these attorneys to double dip on these cases. because they're doing it. And that gives them total control over an abusive situation in a nursing home and the guardian. They're representing both of them. So some of the reforms could be very simple, like not allowing these double dipping by attorneys. But what we really need is federal legislation, and we need federal legislators to get involved because the states are not doing a good job of policing it. And the Florida Bar Association, or, you know, the New Hampshire Bar Association, or any of these bar associations, we have to remember that they're not regulatory bodies. They're peer influence groups. They're there as a peer group, and they're not doing a good job of regulating their own peers. So they have to be eliminated from this equation. And we need federal legislation to help us make small changes that can make a big difference.
What are you hoping, aside from being able to tell your own story and the story about what happened and what happened to your mom, what are you hoping people really get out of this book, and what are you hoping people really take from it?
I hope to be a catalyst for change. I hope to be someone who, you know, can influence other people to make better decisions than some of the decisions I've made. I've made a lot of mistakes, you know. Do I regret taking the guilty plea? Yeah, some days I do. And then other days I'm like, well, you know what? Gives me an opportunity to tell my story. But certainly there were a lot of mistakes that I made behind the scenes, and I hope to learn from them. And I also hope to teach other people that, you know, it's okay. We're imperfect people. We make mistakes. I didn't make the best decisions throughout this entire process, but I can learn from those decisions, and hopefully I can impact the world by helping other people make better decisions and helping to push, you know, federal legislation to stop this from happening to, you know, the 1.5 million people that are in guardianship throughout this country. And a lot of those people shouldn't be in those guardianships. And I think finally we're at a point where maybe things are starting to change. And it's my hope that I can in some way inspire and be part of that change.
Talking with Karen Turk, she is a former Mrs. Florida and the author of the new book, Behind the Headlines, How a Conservative Beauty Queen Became a Target of Cancel Culture and Fake News. Karen, how do people get the book? What's the best way for people to get a hold of it if they're interested in reading it?
Well, it seems to be everywhere, so Amazon would be a great place to get it. You can go on Amazon and search for it. It's also on my website, which is Karen, K-A-R-Y-N, Turk, T-U-R-K.com. And you can pre-order your copy there. And shout out to Post Hill Press. They're doing a great job putting it out there and getting those pre-orders. And I'm really, really excited about the book. And I hope your listeners will pick it up.
What evidence, look, understanding that people get railroaded all the time in the criminal justice system, what evidence do you have that you were targeted specifically because of political bias? It may strike some as strange that in a Justice Department headed by Donald Trump and his attorney general at the time, that they would go out of their way to target a conservative activist. What can you tell folks that might find that a little difficult to believe, that you would be targeted because you're conservative during a Trump administration?
Well, it was, you know, it was towards the end. And, you know, as we know, things were very contentious for our former president at that time. And I don't think that it takes, you know, anybody being terribly outside the box when they're thinking about what happened to me. I think people are pretty logical. And I think we know that we're dealing with a situation where there is, you know, left-leaning manipulation in a lot of media outlets throughout the country. It's just a reality. It's just the way that things are. This is opinion journalism at this point, and I don't think that that escapes most of the people listening to this. And when you Google me, I mean, if you look, every single headline is about my political affiliation. Every single one. Every single one has a mention of Donald Trump or Roger Stone or who I, you know, hang out with. And it's all about me being a conservative. Well, guess what? If that wasn't in the narrative at all, there wouldn't be a story for them. And I think that's really what's glaring. And that's why I think this title of this book is so apropos, too, Behind the Headlines, because really every single headline was about my political affiliation. And the truth is they didn't even really need it. They could have written the headlines without it, but that's what was important to them because that was the divided environment of 2019 that we were living in.
Very interesting. Karen Turk, you could listen to her on her podcast. You could check out the book. Go to the website, KarenTurk.com. Karen with a Y, Turk.com. Final minute we have here, Karen. A lot of people, a lot of conservatives are talking about your governor as a potential presidential candidate come 2024. Are you as enamored of your governor as the rest of the conservative movement nationally seems to be? And could you see a scenario in which he'd be a viable candidate for president in 2024?
Yeah, I can. I'm sitting outside right now. It's a beautiful morning in Florida. So glad to be here. You know, our state has become really the one to emulate. We've attracted so many people that are escaping, you know, tyranny in other states and, you know, what they see as bad government. So I think Florida has been a shining example for what is right in government, and that's kind of a play on words. But Governor DeSantis has done a great job above his, you know, political affiliation and what side of the aisle you're on for standing up for his actual constituents, which is what every elected official should be
doing.
That's
for sure. Karen,
so I think in that way, yeah, he's become a great example.
We'll have to leave it there. Check out the book, Behind the Headlines. The subtitle is How a Conservative Beauty Queen Became a Target of Cancel Culture and Fake News. But wherever you fall on the political spectrum, it highlights such an important issue of guardianship abuse. And it's just an interesting story to read. Check it out. Behind the Headlines by Karen Turk. Your influence counts, so use it.